Thank you for the privilege to come into your presence. But maybe more important than that, Lord, is you coming into our presence. And Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit now open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears to hear and to see what you want us to experience. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father God. Come is a four-letter word that best describes the continual invitation that the Lord has for all of us. From the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, the New International Version Concordance, 1,666 times that word is used, come. In the last two verses of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, this word come is sandwiched between two amens, validating the significance of that powerful word, come. Jesus said, yes, I'm coming soon. And John responded in the second last verse of the Bible, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Never preached a sermon on a one word in the Bible. Come. We Canadians use this word a lot, eh? Come on. Come here. Come by. Come around. Come to. Come easy. Come over. Come back. Come down. Come again. That's a very common word in our English language. And a pretty powerful, significant word in the Bible, as I've discovered. The spiritual significance of this word is very dynamic concerning the journey of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The Old Testament's prophets said he would come. The record shows that 2,000 years ago he did come. The New Testament apostles said he would come back. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. As far as I know, he hasn't come yet. If he did, we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Like Nicolas Cage in that recent movie, Left Behind. Every student of the Bible, which is all of us, I would hope, can understand the spiritual significance of the word come by examining its dynamic usage in three stages of Christ's journey here on earth. And the first stage is the Old Testament journey concerning Christ long before he was born as a baby. The Old Testament prophets said he would come. Now the reason Jesus had to come is because mankind had chosen to go. To go away from following him, to go away from his commandments. And ever since that time in the garden, we've been going away. And the Lord is heralding his call, come. Come. He'll not stop saying that word till the final days are finished. God said he was going to come in the Old Testament to the prophet Moses in Exodus 19:9. Listen to this. Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Numbers 12:15 confirmed that he did come. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. I'm just reading a new version of the Bible, and I was reading in Exodus on that story as well this week. When God Almighty came down in that fire on Mount Sinai. That's a glorious picture, like a fiery spiritual volcano. There's billows of smoke, which would be the glory of God. He said he's on a consuming fire, and he wanted to make a strong sense that his presence was there on Mount Sinai. Pillars of cloud, we know the story of Moses. in the true record. By day, there was a fiery pillar of cloud. God's glory, in the best description of that would be clouds that we see, big cumulus clouds. When the sun's behind us and it's bright from the sun and you hardly see it, that's the closest example we're going to see to the clouds of glory. Then by night, those clouds of glory turned into pillars of fire where they were led through the desert. Clouds of fire. Well, the Old Testament prophets talked a lot about Jesus. Isaiah said this in 11:1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. That scripture was saying that Jesus was going to come through the genealogy of Jesse, who was the father of David. And Jesus was the son of David, we know. Then Zechariah the prophet also said in 10:4, from Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him the every ruler. And the prophet Micah got very specific where he would come to. Remember where he came? Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. They were all preparing and planning with great excitement and anticipation his birthday party, which of course we celebrate on December 25th, the birth of Jesus. So all of us that are students of the Bible can understand the spiritual significance of this word come, certainly by examining the journey of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament prophets, that he was going to come. And secondly, the writers of the gospel confirmed that he did come. Matthew especially spent a fair amount of time in the first few chapters in the Gospel of Matthew validating that Jesus really did come as he said he would. Matthew verses 1, 22, and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then later on, Matthew in chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, he says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is this one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east. We've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Matthew continued on in chapter 3, verse 3, concerning John the Baptist. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Then the first few words Jesus said to his disciples was to come. In Matthew 4:19, he said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Mark chapter 2:17 says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not a healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Yes. I have come to call sinners. Jesus kept the application of his teachings, I think, pretty simple. In fact, Jesus said what? Do you have to become a child to become ready for heaven, to enter the kingdom of heaven? His command is so wrapped up in this word, come. We speak and preach, rightfully so, thousands of sermons about Jesus as another four-letter word, love. But love cannot have any action or legs put to it without come. You can't love without come. You can't love Jesus without coming to Him. And you can't love others without coming to the Lord to be empowered to go. If I summed up the Bible and really took a risk here, I might sum up all of Jesus' teachings as this: come and go. So somebody asked you, what's the Bible mean? Come and go. Now the intelligent people of the world will say, I knew you Christians are simple-minded. But it really is that simple when you look at all of His teachings and doctrines and everything, you put it together. Come, then go. And it seems like everybody around the world is coming and going, right? We must be following Jesus. No, we're coming to the wrong person, we're going in the wrong direction. Imagine if we all were coming and going the way the Lord wants us to, what we could do to this world. Well, I have a message on come. I may need to flip the coin over and do a message on go later to balance it off, but I have to sneak it in because it's hard to talk about come without going. But mark my words, if you really want to serve the Lord in 2015, you're going to be doing a lot of coming and going.
Yes, yes.
You're going to do a lot of coming to the Lord.
Yes.
And you're going to do a lot of going out to where He says to go.
Yes.
I thank God for this building. Amen. Some of you that have been here from the beginning, and I haven't been here from the beginning, you have prayed. You have done so much to get this beautiful building. And thank God we have it. Yes. But if we just come to the building, and come to the Lord and come to services and don't go, dangerous.
Yeah.
The blessings of coming to the Lord will dissipate as dew on a flower on the sunshine if we don't go with the blessings when we come. Lastly, here, every student of the Bible can understand the spiritual significance of this word come by examining its dynamic usage in three stages. The writers of the New Testament said He would come again. Paul, in his letters to the Thessalonians, gave the most dynamic description of how Jesus will come in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise last. No. First. Then in Thessalonians 5, 2, 3. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But wait a minute, doesn't it sound like a contradiction there? Two different things happening. Well, there are two different things happening when Jesus comes back. It's a day of gloom and destruction and death and the most horrible persecutions and death and destruction that the world has ever known when Jesus returns, when He comes like a thief in the night. For those that don't know Him, they need to be terrified of His coming when He returns if they're not ready. But then He's coming for the church at a whole different side where we rejoice and are excited about His coming. For we will be the first to rise. Yes. The dead in Christ with those that are alive on the world will rise when He comes.
Yes.
Now, I don't think we will ever figure out the exact order of all that stuff. Much smarter people than me, and I don't consider myself that smart, have labored for thousands of years on the coming of the Lord and when He's coming. There's books and libraries on his pre-tribulation coming, mid-trib, after-trib, whatever trib. He's coming back, we know that. And the dead in Christ, which is us, the church, will rise first in that resurrection. Beautiful little picture there of the rapture. And on that recent movie of Nicolas Cage called Left Behind, it's a dramatization of it. I thought it was all right. And it talked about him being left behind when Jesus came, he happened to be a pilot flying over the ocean on a jet line, and suddenly the co-pilot vanished. And he was left behind, and a lot of people on the plane vanished because they were the dead in Christ, or the alive in Christ, that met the dead in Christ first when the great resurrection happened. And the heavens must just rejoice at that moment, or will. And we should just look at, so excited about his coming. God have mercy on those that aren't ready. It's a day of horror. We get freaked out about all the things happening in the Middle East and all the wars and the things going on there. We haven't seen nothing yet compared to what's coming when Jesus returns with his judgment upon the world in those 7 years of wrath. Lots of Christians believe we will be raptured in that resurrection before those 7 years. And I certainly lean more to that understanding. Praise God. The two angels gave testimony to Jesus coming back in Acts chapter 1:11. When Jesus was about to be glorified in the clouds of glory, as you see in that picture, the two angels said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you in heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Clouds of glory." Jesus himself shared his disciples on numerous occasions that he would come back. Matthew 16:27. Yeah. He said, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory." That's with all these clouds of glory again. "With his angels. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done." We only have a few years to live. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting much closer to the end than the beginning. Years go by. I notice that people, when they hit 65, and I'm getting there pretty soon, they don't want to celebrate anymore. And I think I understand why. Let's hold off on the big deal here. But you know, I think we should celebrate as Christians every year. Yes. 1 year closer to his coming. If you're going to be alive when he comes, great. You don't have to die. You'll be translated instantly while you're in his body. But even as you're getting older and getting ready to die, you're getting ready to meet him. That should be just about as exciting. I think the only thing we don't like is dying. I don't want to go through that horrible process either. It sounds very scary to me. Even with faith, dying process is what I think we freak out about. But we got to get out of that and just say, he's coming for me when I'm dying too. And he will be there glorifying you. And we should get at least 2/3 as excited as about the rapture, I think. Jesus said in John 14, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you."
Yes.
Told his disciples that before he died. Revelation, the last chapter, right from the beginning to the end, there's so many times Jesus says, "I'm coming back." He said in Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who is to come." Come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. They said he would come. He did come. The Old Testament. They said he would come again in the Gospels. Mark my words, he will come back. He's coming back. Jesus really has only these two words to say to us. Come and go while you're alive. Come to me if you're lost. Come to me if you're heavy laden and burdened.
Yes, yes.
Come to me if you don't have power to do the evangelism, and I'll baptize you with power. Come to me if you're sick. I will sustain you and inevitably heal you. Come to me if you're lonely. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're heavy laden. Come to me, whatever problem you got. Come to me, come to me, come to me. And come to the cross if you need salvation and you're lost. That's why we come to church, to be encouraged. But really, we are coming to get refueled, revived, renewed by Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can go home and watch TV. Now, don't get me wrong, I watch TV once in a while, sometimes a little bit too much. You got to be very discerning what we watch. There's so much stuff that isn't good, but there's a lot of good things every once in a while. But no, we come to the Lord to be strengthened so we can go and shine our light in the darkness. The darkness is where Satan is. The darkness is where hell is. The darkness is where the depressed are. The darkness is where the lost are. And they maybe even think they're happy because they think they have everything, but they're lost. And if they got to go through when Jesus comes back without Jesus Christ, we should be terrified for them. Some people, I don't like it when people water down the fear of the Lord. There's a part of the Lord you should be terrified of his coming. Remember when the disciples were freaking out about dying? And Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But be afraid of the one who has the power to throw you into hell. And who is that? Jesus.
Yep.
This loving, compassionate, merciful God of total grace that sometimes we abuse on this world. He is still judge and holy.
Yes.
Mark my words, he will judge. There is a great white throne judgment. The resurrected of all that have died without Christ. And there's no defense lawyer in the world that's going to get anybody getting away with murder up there.
Amen.
We should be terrified of the word of God. Tremble in fear without Jesus Christ. We've lost a lot of the awe, yes, but we've lost a lot of the real fear that is needed. I'll give you a quick little testimony. When I was a hardened atheist and an alcoholic and a drug addict with a young man 39 years ago, January 17th, 1976, I was sitting in a basement planning my suicide. Totally knew what I was doing. I had had it. I felt there was no way out, and I was getting out. I was checking out. I did not believe in God. I even thought of God. Totally become a hardened man against faith. My faith as a child. And there I was, sipping on a beer, planning it in detail for the next day. Then I began to have these thoughts coming into my mind. Are you sure you're not going to a place of more terror than you already are in? Are you sure the religious people are wrong and you are so right, you university scholar? Think you got it all figured out? These kind of thoughts came to my mind. Are you sure there's no heaven? Are you sure there's no hell? This went on in my mind for a while. Where is this all coming from? I didn't even attribute it to God at that time. I thought, why am I thinking about all this stuff now? It got me so confused and scared that I became terrified of hell, even though I didn't believe in God. I know that now to be the Holy Spirit, because God had called me back then.
Yep.
I'm not going to let you die, but if you kill yourself, you're lost in the terrors of hell. And God just kept coming at me until I buckled. That's the fear of the Lord. He loved me enough to terrorize me to come to the kingdom.
Yes.
Still took a while for me to accept his love. So don't be so scared of sometimes the terror of the Lord. Some people need it. And they're going to need it when he comes back, when he comes with his wrath. Believe me, they'll be so terrified. They'll be running the mountains to hide. They're going to be stricken with sores. And you think it's bad now in the Middle East with the wars going on. Read the book of Revelation. When he comes like a thief in the night, we should be so broken and scared for the lost souls that are going to go through that, that we should be coming to Christ to go and save them. I'm committed this year to give my very all to this church as much as I can, to the Hope Mission. I'm so busy, I'm so tired, and I'm so ill with afflictions, but my God is so strong because I come to him day and night, more and more. I come to him for power to preach. I come to him to do this. We all got to come to him. What stops us from coming to the Lord? I'll tell you what stops me. I'd rather do it on my own. I don't like asking for help. Fear, pride, whatever. All those things of natural stuff. But if we're going to be prepared to go and do the work he wants us to, we got to come to him. I'm going to sing a song for you now called Are You Ready? The only way we can be ready is you make up your mind you're going to come to the Lord with everything in you all the time for every need you have. Not waiting just till you're sick.
Yeah.
Not waiting You need them all the time.
Yes.
That's the type of people the Lord is looking for. And it's going to get tough out there in the world, much worse than we're already going through. We need to get stronger. But He will take the weak like me, and I'm a very weak man, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, if I'm not in Christ. Believe me, I'm no giant. Don't you ever think that. I am one of the weakest people I know. And I have no trouble telling you my weakness. I have no fear of that at all. Because I know where my power comes from and my weakness. He sometimes picks the weakest and the most foolish, like drunks and addicts like I've been. Because we know we can't rely on ourselves. But a lot of you have a lot of strength. Surrender that strength to God. Surrender your gifts. Still come to the Lord and be anointed. Because you could become like a Charles Spurgeon or whoever. God looking for gifted people too that are gifted naturally. But they need to surrender that and come to Him, giving it all to Him.
Yes.
And He will use the weak, He'll use the strong. I know we're going to have an altar call here. And I pray you come to the altar today, maybe with a deeper surrendered heart. Whatever you need, come to Jesus. But prepare to go. People ask for God's will. Sometimes He won't tell you what His will is if He's already looked into your heart and knows you won't go. I'm really concerned about the lack of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our denomination over the last 20 years. In the early years, we seemed to, everybody desired it, wanted it. We'd have altar calls. Everybody was baptized in the Holy Spirit just instantly. Now it's a fight and a battle for anybody. And I'm saying, God, why? Why? About 15 years ago, I had a baptism of the Holy Spirit service in a church not here. I think one or two people out of all these people at the altar. And I prayed and prayed. And when I was working with the addicts 15 years earlier, every time I would pray for people, they'd all be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. You know what God spoke to my heart? Said, Alan, they don't want to go. I'm not going to baptize them. They don't want to go. Why? They're just going to take my blessing and sit with it in their church. Because even Jesus said, wait, and I'll baptize you with power from on high so you can be enabled to go to Jerusalem, to the world. I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord isn't blessing us as much in Canada. There's not as many want to go, but anybody wants to go. I don't care if you've got a one-day sobriety. You're ready to go wherever God wants you to go. You probably baptize in the Holy Ghost right now. So if you're not going to go, don't come to the altar. No point. God, you already got your blessing. But if you want to go and are ready to go, wherever God wants you to go, God's called me to go to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. I got a lot of African friends where I work at the mission in here. A lot of them say, I don't want to go there either. I'm quite happy to be back here. No, it's not. I'm not going. I'm going for 6 weeks. Reasonably nervous about it because I don't sleep well and all these things, and it's going to be some trial. But I'm going because God told me to go. And wherever He says to go, you got to go.
Amen.
And His power will be with you. And you'll work through your anxieties, whatever you got. He'll take any of us. We can limp all the way, but if we're willing to go, power will be released. He will carry. I'm going to do this song that I wrote. And I hope it scares the living dickens out of you a little bit. And gives you joy. For any of you who don't want to go, I hope it scares you. But those that are willing to really go wherever God wants you to go, rejoice, because He's coming back. He's the Lamb of the light for us that are ready.
Yeah.
But He's a thief in the night of terror for those that ain't. And then after I do this song, I'd like the altar team to be here. You may want to come up even now, the altar team, and you can hear me do the song while we're waiting. But after the song's over, run to the altar if you need to come. And let's forget about what people think of you. My goodness. Let's get over that. Who cares? Think about what He thinks about you. Get ready to go.
Yeah.
Wherever He calls you to go. Ready the day of the Lord. tears in his eyes burn with fire. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? He comes with a sword in his mouth. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? The blood of our sins stains his robe. So are you ready for the day of the Lord? He's a lion in the night. Are you ready? He's a lion in the night. Get ready, he's a lion in the night. Are you ready, he's a lion in the night. Better get ready. Not for the good stuff. He comes for a church, clothed in white, amen. I'm ready for the day of the Lord. He carries his bride in his arms. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? As he comes at the last trumpet call, are you ready for the day of the Lord? Rise on the wings of the wind. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? He's the Lamb of the Light. I'm ready. He's the Lamb of the Light. Are you ready? He's the Lamb of the Light. Are you ready? He's the Lamb of the Light. Get ready. He's the Lamb of the Light. He's a bride in the night. He's a Lamb of the Light. God, I just pray that for those that aren't right with you, maybe listening to this broadcast, or will in the future, please pour your spirit upon them, that they will bow down on their knees and come to the cross now to get their heart right with you. And for any Christians, Lord, in this church, outside of this church, that aren't ready, that you'll draw them to be willing to go and get ready. And even today, Lord, as we have a little time now of prayer at the altar, for those that come forward now, I pray for you to shake through everything by the power of the Holy Spirit to prepare them to be ready to go as they come to you. So please come now and we will pray for you.
The Lord prompted me to do this. On Friday night, I had gone to bed And I was praying for all my grandchildren that wasn't serving God or wasn't close to God. And I was praying for one of the young man that I had raised from a baby. And I was praying, and I fell off the seat I was praying for him. And all night, God had me in a Holy Ghost thing. When I woke up, I was just ringing in, but I was speaking in the Holy Ghost. I was in spirit all night, praying for these. And I really believe that we are living in a time that's very short to his coming. And I remember something that my mom told me before she passed. She said, Eleanor, you pray for your children and your grandchildren. And you know, I breathe their names every day. Every day I speak their names. And if you've got loved ones that are not saved, you need to pray for them. And I breathe every one of my grandchildren. Everyone I call out by name. But this young man that's in Regina that I raised, he's in a correctional center. And he did something he shouldn't have done. And I remember when he was here, and my mama talked to him. And she called to his bedside, and she said, Tony, God has got his hand on your life. But you need to serve him with all your heart. And he laid that aside. He laid that aside. He did things his way. And now he's got a son. And when he was here about four months ago, he came to me. He brought his son to me. And I told him, I said, son, you do not want your son to come up the way to live the life that you're living. But remember the words that my mama spoke to your spirit. Remember those words. And these are the words he told me. He says, Mama, I can't get away from Granny every day. Seems like Granny's always on me. He's on me. I said, Tony, you know what God's trying to tell you? It's time to lay down the things of the world and begin to serve God. Because you have a family that's coming up. And you want to see him in the kingdom of God. But first of all, he has to have a father that's going to serve God with his whole heart. And my desire this year, I'm like you, Pastor Allen. My desire this year is to lay a home to the horns of the altar, not only for my grandchildren, but for those that do not know God. Because I believe that this is the, we are living in the last days, folks. We're living in the last days. And God is looking for a people that's full of his power, that's going to go out into the world, and it's going to tell the world of who Jesus is. But we of the church, we have to be full of the Holy Ghost. We have to be full of the power of God in order for those to see those and to win those for Christ. I lift up with all my heart, I said this year, Father, I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to live all I can to do for you. Because I tell you, folks, these are the last days. These are the last days.
I want to officially dismiss the church for those that need to go, for those who want to come to the altar. It will take time as much as you need to pray. God, I thank you for what you have said today. We just pray your Holy Spirit to take to heart whatever the things that we share that you want each of us to take. We have a blessed afternoon. Please come for those who want.